Good morning. How are you all this morning? Good? Oh, I'm so glad that you're good. This is the day the Lord has made, and today we want to rejoice and be glad in it.
It is so good to see Mr. Stanley here today. How about changing places with me? Will you come do this and let me take your seat? In her book, Life Unhindered, Jennifer Dean explains five keys to walking in freedom. And the springboard for these five keys comes from the watchword that is on the front of your bulletin that we have already repeated together at the beginning of the service. And we're going to look at these five keys and see what they mean as related to the watchword. Excuse me. When we talk about life unhindered, what does unhindered mean? Talk to me. What does unhindered mean? Okay. Anybody else? Freedom. Something that is not bothering us, something that is not hindering us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. Every human being desires freedom. No race of people has ever been content to be enslaved or even limited in their freedom. Did you see the movie Braveheart? If you did, you no doubt remember the Scottish freedom fighter, William Wallace, as he shouted, "They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom." The freedom that we want so much for ourselves. We're never completely at home in conditions that rob us or limit us of our freedom. Where it's lacking, we long for it. We seek it. We dream of it. We work for it. History is filled with freedom movements, and many wars have been fought for freedom, at least in the name of freedom. However, as Christians, we know that true freedom is provided by Christ. And apart from him, no one can be truly free. Galatians 5:1 tells us it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be freed indeed. Freedom is Christ's goal for our life. And we must also know that true freedom does not come from being who we want to be, but from being who God has created us to be. I think that many people, even maybe some Christians, fail to realize that, because it's not who we want to be, but who God has created us to be. God wants us to be free, so that we can freely serve others by giving to others what he has given to us. We should be his vessel in a desperate and hurting world. And I think all of you will agree that our world today is desperate, and it is a hurting world. We are going to look now at those five keys that God has given us to open the door to the full freedom that Christ has given us, the freedom that Christ died for. The first key is his platform. God's people are his platform. He speaks through us. We are his platform. Look at the first part of the first sentence of the watchword. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, we can paraphrase that by saying, since we have all these examples to follow, let us do the same thing. God works in the lives of his people. All the people the many, many people that we read about in the Bible that were witnesses for God, for Christ. We should do the same thing that they did. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Enoch, Noah, just a few of the many witnesses for Christ. Witnesses who let God work through them and use them for His glory and His purpose. The second key is His provision. Look at the next part of that same sentence. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. God never commands something of us that He has not provided for us. God provides the way out of every hindering habit, attitude, and belief. Anything that God commands us to do, He provides us the ability to do that. His provision for us. And the third key is His power. Look at the rest of that same sentence. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God empowers us to run the race that He has marked for us. That race leads us in the path that Jesus, as our forerunner, ran right into the lives and needs of a hurting world. Think of the world that Jesus lived in. Think of the world that we live in. Desperate, hurting worlds. Key number four is His presence. Look at the first part of the next sentence. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. God's presence is our reference point. His indwelling life is continually available to us and changes the focus of our whole life. If God is our focus, then the race is ours to win. And the fifth key is His promise. Look at the rest of that same sentence. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our journey, our life, has a goal. That promise extends into eternity, but it is not limited by the hereafter. It is today, every day, every moment. God has a promise that He is with us every single day. Imagine what our world would be like if every person, even a simple majority, knew God's word and let that word penetrate to the very core of their life. What a different world we would have. You agree? Why do you think from the very beginning that God prepared a remedy for sin? Why didn't He wait until we sinned before He prepared the remedy? Exactly right. He knew that we were going to sin. So He prepared the remedy before the problem arose. He knew the guilt and He knew the shame would cripple and hinder His people. So He prepared a way to remove that from our lives if we let Him. When God calls us to a courageous risk, He is promising us His provision. Through us, God can unleash His Spirit in the world. Abraham heard God's voice many times, and he obeyed it in smaller things before God asked him to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. Abraham had learned from experience that God's voice could be trusted. In Abraham's heart, he constructed an altar, and he would visit that altar many times. I want to use the word altar, which is a noun, But let's use it as a verb. When we go to the altar, we are altered. We are changed. We are in the midst of laying ourselves on an altar, and we are altered in that experience. When we are altered, we are dying to what we thought we owned and surrendering our expectations to God's expectations. And at the same time, we're embracing the promise of God's provision. Like Abraham, we must be willing to shed every encumbrance in order to receive the promise that God has set before us. Abraham showed us how to run the race, unencumbered, unhindered. God hates sin, and there is no question about that. If you want to know how much God hates sin, look at the cross. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross. When we encounter and accept Christ, he begins to replace lies with truth. God calls us to a step-by-step obedience, not a rule-following obedience, but a ruler-following obedience. And he is that ruler. Remember the term altered living? It's the key to everything. All the power, all the provision, all the fullness, and all the abundance. It all flows from surrender. Surrender immediately to the power of the cross. Have you ever noticed little stickers that come on a new computer that says powered by Intel? We, you and I, are powered by Jesus. The more we learn to surrender to his presence in us, the more free we are to live a life unhindered.